No, but if you can condense that in some kind of a way and tell us what the likely effect of that's going to be on real wages.
Well, the overtime, the new overtime legislation that took effect about, I think, 2 weeks ago today, even though the salary level test has been lessened, I mean, it used to be higher, it used to be much lower. So you could be an exempt employee. Now it's much higher. I think it went from $155 a week to around $455 a week. So you can make a lot more money and still be considered to be eligible for overtime pay. That will definitely bring some people into the ranks of being eligible for overtime. But much more broadly than that, the third screening test that they talk about is the duties test. And the duties test is when you look at jobs and you try to determine whether they are primarily administrative, professional, or executive in nature. And if they are, then those people
the gray areas of every character. Not the blacks and not the whites, but the middle areas. And I think that's where Big John really came from. One of the darkest figures.
But I need you to stay.
Maybe a little bit late. It was before daylight. And so we know that. That's now clear.
Over the other employees on the team. So you can imagine how this could be used to take really hourly workers and say, hey, you're in front of a...
To what you have already demonstrated and committed yourself to. And what others who have not demonstrated and committed themselves to need also to become aware of.
In modern society, yet
I really appreciate it.
To depict him as being a three-dimensional character, human being, creates great drama.
Did you do the Oscars?
Great contradiction. It was always very important for me in making a movie to explore the gray areas of every character.
It is integral. And we relate that integralness to four basic points. To be a loving person. If you want to be loving and to reap the benefits of that active participation in your reality in a loving fashion, if you want to be loved and receive the benefits of that function in your reality, it is very important that you forego your attempts to dominate. That you forego your domination. 2 points. Your attempts and the fact of your domination. For not many of you are thoroughly replete at dominating. All of you, however, are very successful at it in numerous ways.
Why did they then all try to cover for this man Furman? Why would this man, who is not only Los Angeles' worst nightmare, but America's worst nightmare?
We have a system that's totally out of sync with
the reality. I remember stopping by the way.
The apparent success of the program.
Watch a prophet thumping his wet clay.
Is because we were,
and with its all-obliterated tongue, it murmured, gently, brother, gently, pray. A dreadfully fatal intermittent fever broke out in the lower parts of this river about 11 weeks ago.
In the month of August, the intermittent fever began to shake its burning, freezing subjects.
Prior to the year 1830, when the Aiguan fever was not known to exist,
the epidemic ague, which had swept away great numbers of the natives, commenced in 1830,
was not known to exist.
The main disorder is an intermittent fever, which has carried off all or nearly all the Indians.
Since the year 1829, probably 7/8 have been swept away by disease.
Yeah. So hopefully, if nothing else that I've done is to get you people to think about the markets in some ways you never thought about before you came in here today. There is another way of trading the markets because we have some new markets now. You don't have to just buy, hopefully buy low and sell high. Great, buying low and selling high is good, but higher is better. Because we have some new markets now. You don't have to just buy, hopefully buy low and sell high. I mean, that's great. Buying low and selling high is good, but higher is better. Rule one. And rule two is there are new ways to trade the markets. There are these spread. There are some gimme trades that occur because you know a contract's got to come into cash. And you can trade for that. You can develop your own trading rules and parameters for it. Go right ahead and do that. But they're there, and hopefully this is giving you some insight to that, or use the rules that I presented for you.
And are struggling, many of you, working very hard, others of you, to try to make it a complete domination.
Those present included Condoleezza Rice, CIA Director George Tenet, Secretary of the Treasury Paul O'Neill, and General Richard Myers, the Vice Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff.
A couple more questions and then we're going to wrap it up. Yes, sir. You know, the way I use the projected highs and lows is just as a general parameter of where the market's going to go. Basically, I will buy a projected high and sell a projected low. Everyone else is doing the opposite.
Denying it because the world's an ugly one, but attempting it nonetheless and succeeding, unfortunately, in certain areas. To be a loving person, to be involved in that function of loving, how can you rule and control and place yourself in an elevated position?
One, two, and three.
But hopefully someone else will be solving this problem in January, and they're going to be confronted with a huge job deficit, both the number of jobs that have to be, the million plus jobs that have to be put back, plus the millions of jobs that should have been created during this period.
I want to tell all you people just one thing. You know there's plenty of men around,
just one king. You can go through life acting mean and sassy, but you better play it cool when you come around blassy. And that goes for all you women, living or dead. You best watch your step when you're messing with bread. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. My name is Lassie, King of Men.
Chapter 12, Keeps Score. Keep a running tally of life's injustices and get really angry about every single one of them. Yes, we all know that the world isn't meant to be fair, except where you're concerned. And in that case, it's supposed to be more than fair. But again, don't even think about whether it's equitable for anyone else. Your justifiable anger over anything that's not perfect for you is all that counts. Don't think about the undeniable fact that small children in cancer wards. What matters is that the waiter at your juice bar was rude to you. It's none of your concern that people are being sold into slavery in the Sudan right now. Hey, the lettuce in your salad isn't crispy. And what about the guy who did so much better than you in school? He must have cheated. And how come your house didn't go up in value as much as your sister's? You've been robbed, my friend, and we both know it. Yes, it's a beautiful day, and you're feeling healthy, but what about the bum advice your spouse gave you last month? You was robbed. Not more than envy. This is about letting the universe know that you're on a better deal. Get furious and hold on to that anger as well as that feeling of being cheated. That will most assuredly help you get through your day really steamed, which is a lot more interesting than just feeling cool and collected.
We're not going to detail each one, but only to remind you that the most frequent saboteur, of course, is that of your martyr. The you who is the martyr, not who used to once upon a time, but I don't do that anymore, shove behind me, tuck away in my shadow self. The martyr that you are is your saboteur.
If I make something of the situation to show a difference between the two of them, the difference will distract the true arm of it. Film fogs, you know. One gene fog. And add a dish of prunes if they are in season.
Sabotage love, because love is the enemy of martyr.
Acting as a market maker is a very risky and dangerous job. Yet, most of the time, the trading firms involved in this part of the business are able to make huge profits. How is this possible? Through the bid-ask spread. As we said, to maintain an orderly market, the market makers must always make a market in the stock they're assigned to by setting a price at which they'll both buy stock and sell stock simultaneously, even when they don't want to do either.
Before the year 1829.
Prior to the year 1830, when the ague and fever was not known to exist.
Was never known in this country before the year 1829.
Was not known to exist.
In 1829, attacked by fever, attended with ague.
The intermittent fever has appeared at this place.
There are a great many Indians here at present. Some few of them have the ague.
On the Sacramento River, we are informed by the Indians that they have no traditions of any similar scourge in past time. There appear...
I don't beg for mercy. And I don't give none. If you're looking for trouble, I'll loan you some. So just step right up if you're itching for a fight. Next thing you know, pow, out go the lights. If you're lucky, you'll walk away like some kind of man. Otherwise, they'll tote you off in a garbage can. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. My name is Blassie, King of Men.
Obviously. They'll buy cheaper than
I went all around the world, and my heart was stirred when I found out that Blassie is a household word. In the slums of Japan, I saw a little pipsqueak called the neighborhood bully, a pencil neck geek. Every time I pull into one of these new hick towns, there's always some loudmouth geek hanging around. Some guy lipping off about how he's the best. Says he'll take care of Blassie just like all the rest. Yeah? Well, I'm warning all you geeks, and I ain't funning. When you see Blassie coming, you better start running.
How can you be involved in loving, which is to immerse yourself in, and remain alienated or separate from?
Love is the antithesis, because it destroys. It brings a light to the darkness that martyrhood requires so that it can rot in the mouldiest places of darkness.
I am like a magician, I try to make the world around you disappear. Only for a moment, girl. It's just my intuition to love you right before I'm out of here. Off to some other world. The old man was in his 60s walking down the street with the girl was about 9. I said the old man was in his 60s walking down the street with the girl was about 9. Dig, he had his hands on her hips. He had his hands on her butt. He had his hands on her. She said, this is my body which I deliver up to you. Motherfuckers are not deserving. Broken promises ring in phones and shine on my sister's chrome exceptions. Only my sister's no longer accepting. She learned about accepting things through accepting things. She said it was through some kind of a burnt light, which even today shines in strobe light patterns. Patterns of light that shine like, patterns. And in between the waves of light, the only thing the average man can see is night. But we see some old man's sticky little hand. Then we see her fingers file through night songs. See, she got mad night songs that niggas be singing to her. Some singing truth and some singing false. True night songs detest her. She's just a magnet for false niggas who like to drool puddles of lies at her feet for her to swim in, or rather to sing with. I tried to put my coat over the puddle so she wouldn't get all wet, but she just laughed. I said, but wait. You can't just laugh at me like that. You gotta hear my night song, because my night song is true. Listen. It's you and me, da 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 da. It's you and me, da 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 da. It's you and me together again in Brooklyn. And she stopped me. She said, niggas' hearts beat like broken records, beat like broken records, beat like broken records. And I would rather stand with my hand reaching out towards some man. Nigga, please. I just wonder. And time ticks like some kind of a light switch. You heard the click. She said, damn, the light's on. It's getting kind of hot in here. She said, I'm taking off all my clothes, baby. This is my body, which I deliver to you. Motherfuckers are not deserving. Broken hearts beat like cuts in time that bleed forever. Only my sister's forever is never. She's too stuck on the cusp of the now. And her image of a man is just some old drip, sticky, drip hand. Drip. Tears drip. Go ahead, man. If you look close enough, you can see her true reflection. Drip. My tears be wishes. My wishes just be difficult wants. I want to take it to the stars that they may unveil the face of heaven, which is her true face. I know it is her true face because she showed it to me once. And I had a rose for her. And I tried to sing. But she stopped me.
Love, you cannot feel it at the same time that you're being a martyr. You've got to choose. When you choose to be a martyr, you are also choosing not to love, at least for that time, at least for that hour or for that day or for that week, that you instead decide, I think I'll let my martyr run my life. I think I'll go about being the martyr. The price you pay is you will not feel love. Not that people won't love you, but that you won't feel their love.
Why would they all turn their heads and try to cover for him? Why would you do that if you're sworn to uphold the law?
When the ague and fever was not known to exist.
We are informed by the Indians that they have no traditions of any similar scourge in past times.
The fever and ague was not known in this country before the year 1849.
No traditions of any similar scourge in past times.
Was not known to exist.
They have
no traditions of any similar scourge.
Was not known to exist.
Never known in this country.
Because if the others don't have the courage that we've asked you to have in this case.
1829, an intermittent
people
fever has carried off vast numbers of the Indians.
Back.
The symptoms
we
are general coldness, soreness, stiffness of the limbs and body with violent
They don't want to get involved.
Its fatal termination is attributable to its tendency to attack
to
the liver.
Person.
To experience physical life experience. You have emerged into physical life experience at the time of greatest change upon your planet. The changes will come in many different forms, from the seemingly subtle changes that are often called changes in consciousness, to the extremely obvious changes which will literally erupt upon the surface of your earth.
You farted then, mate. You did. I'd have been proud of that. That would have lifted a lighter man clear off his chair. It was a massive fart. I know where I seen... You were in town the other day at that new whorehouse, weren't you? I seen you there because it was shut and you were standing out the front with a fat and fuck all to do.
The ancient Greeks summed this up in terms of mathematics. It is said that on the walls of Plato's Academy, it's said basically, if you don't know geometry, don't come in.
You have chosen this time of change because from your greater, broader awareness, in other words, from the awareness that you held prior to your emergence into this body, you knew that being upon the earth at time of great change would afford you greatest of all opportunity to have new experience through which you would have new knowledge, through which you would have growth or great evolvement.
Bertrand Russell sums up this view of rationality in the Greeks by saying rather whimsically, the Greeks thought that we were rational because we could do sums.
The Indians of the Columbia were once a numerous and powerful people.
This will happen if the matter's trivial, like the red tie and the blue tie. Probably trivial unless I gave you the red tie as a gift or I gave you as the blue tie as a gift. For most purposes, it would be trivial. Or we'll get a non-argumentative response if there's a wide consensus, like George W. Bush, or an easy way to figure out the answer, like the price of this course, or sometimes we'll get a non-argumentative response if the matter is so emotionally intense that people simply can't talk about it in any kind of reasonable way.
At any given time,
one could imagine statements like that. Hopefully they're not many, because when we have statements like that, we're saying, hey, this is beyond the realm in which we can engage in reason giving and talk about it in a reasonable way. On the other hand, if the response I make is like the number 4, 5, and 6, how do you know or what do you have to go on, then the person who made the statement has got to come up with some reasons. The city government is unsatisfactory. Why do you say that? Well, they won't even plow the streets when it snows. Capital punishment is murder. What makes you think so? Well, it's killing people, isn't it? Congress ought to pass the president's budget. Why? Well, because it's a good budget and has the right kind of priorities. Each one of those statements is a reason that I'm giving, or that the person making the statement is giving, to justify the statement or the claim. The other person may find the reason satisfactory. The city government's unsatisfactory. I say, well, why? You say, well, because they can't even plow the streets when it snows.
Yeah, you better step lively, Geek, because before I'm through, I'm going to be mopping up the floor with you. And when you're down there on your knees just begging me to stop, I'll squeeze your head like a pimple until it pops.
Stretch yourself to a point of craziness, to the point of disintegration.
No peace! No peace! No
peace! Where are you from?
What? Why are you interviewing me?
Well, because you have the media sign. Isn't that the way it should be?
Visited my grade school class to hand out a pamphlet. He told us that we were not to accept candy from strangers, and I was reminded of my mother's warnings at Halloween about razor blades and apples and unwrapped candy. That afternoon, I played with a friend, and together we went to visit an old man who lived down the street from her. The man offered each of us a piece of chocolate, which he cut from a large unwrapped slab. I was torn between my desire for the candy and the warnings I had heard. My better judgment receded, and I ate the chocolate. As the hours passed, I waited for the poison to take effect, but it never happened. It was sometime later when I first understood that it wasn't the candy that I should fear.
It's don't worry. Don't send your boy to school, and sooner or later they'll come and take him away. Then you can enjoy the cartoons all by yourself.
Most definitely a frustration. Part of what is being a loving person is understanding that humanity, humankind, is basically loving, which we would suggest from the point of view of domination, from the justification of proceeding in any attempt to dominate, is untrue. The basic concept that justifies or that condones domination is the fact that humanity is unloving. That basically the human condition is that of evil, unloving, greed, self-destructiveness, elitism, and various other very negative concepts. And from the very fact that you even attempt to dominate suggests that you inherently hold that humanity is unloving, yet you, as part of humanity, are going to be separate from that. You are going to be the exception. No. Your belief structure is indeed illogical, but not that much so. So to try to hold on the one hand, I'm going to be loving, and I'm going to let myself be loved, and at the same time I'm going to dominate, is impossible.
United States, and actually now it has gotten to mean the fans who can read English, and it really is a world science fiction convention. It doesn't even always happen in the United States, although so far it's always happened in English-speaking countries. The fans quickly established awards for the best work of any given year. There might be an award for the novel, the short story, the novella, art, editing, and so on. These awards are named after Hugo Gernsback because of his interest in developing fan culture as negative gravity. And he puts Venetian blinds in front of these three concavities full of Cavorite. And then, of course, by opening and shutting, there really is very little true hard SF. Most science fiction is fiction first, and people are more interested in character than they are in. Verne was writing hard science, but he was writing it in a satiric way. Wells, who's usually thought of, and it's quite famous that the FBI came to talk to Cartmell at his home, came to talk to his editors, and so on, feeling for sure that there had been some national security breach. In fact, though, despite the kind of legendary or philosophical importance of hard SF to the field of science fiction in general, as far as I've been able to tell, there's been really only one genuine invention and promulgated before, in science fiction, before it gets discussed by other writers, that is, non-science fiction writers. That's the invention of the geostationary communication satellite, what Arthur C. Clarke called an extraterrestrial relay when he first published the proposal for this in 1945, what we now call communication satellites.
Reach out and touch everybody by phone.
Wrapped slab. I was torn between my desire.
philosophical model is not brand new. HPV.
There's another meaning of rationality, which is broader. It's a kind of instrumental reasoning, to use a language that became popular at the beginning of this century. It's the thinking means, ends, terms. It's rationality now is a kind of practical, even a kind of strategic.
Say Helena Blavatsky was not the first one to speak of a community or a communion of saints and rishis, ageless teachers.
Faculty. In fact, there's a good deal of contemporary philosophy, ethics, so-called, in which one of the models is what is called game theory. And you think your way, you reason your way.
And that, to me, is what the masters of the wisdom are.
The shore of the river for scores of miles was lined with their villages. Upwards of 100 individuals were writhing in agony on the floors of the houses. I have found the Indian population in the lower country below the falls of the Columbia far less than I had expected. Since the year
1829. I remember, don't you laugh, you were there too, mate. Walking down the street backwards with your dick hanging out, trawling for poofters because there was fuck all going on. Bloody in Midland downtown, there was dying in the arse, you couldn't even buy a curry pie. I got a hate on for KFC because they killed my fucking uncle. You may snicker. My uncle used to work for Worth Circus on the high wire, a top acrobat, getting ready for work. He didn't have time to go out the back of the tent and heat up a lousy tin of soup. He walks over the street to KFC. He buys the dirty, greasy, slimy, fatty, stinking, fucking big dinner box. It's got in it the dirty, greasy, slimy, preservative-filled, fatty, greasy, fucking big drumstick. He ate that, didn't have time to wash his hands up on the high wire, slipped and killed him.
Probably 7/8 had been swept away by disease. So many and so sudden were the deaths which occurred that the shores were strewn with the unburied dead. Whole and large villages were depopulated and so...
For lunch, that pencil neck will make a nice snack for me to munch.
Around is to come back to these questions of values and whether the litmus test of good and proper values is who do you sleep with, or is it why is there poverty and why...
And when you feel as if you might be having a great day, recall some real or imagined slight that someone inflicted upon you. Remember when your friend insisted on sitting in the front seat of the car that time you were on a double date? Or think about a stock you bought that went up right after you sold it.
That over and over again.
What do you think of your future? Do you think you're going to walk out of prison free man one day?
I think my future is very intimately connected with the future of this country.
I tend to buy projected highs, yes. The S&P value line spread, you compare S&P, subtract the value line from, subtract the S&P from the value line.
You should have listened, geek, because this is the end. My name
compare S&P, subtract the value line from subtract.
Brew, the best way to achieve your goals.
Boy has ill, blame, cure, and cost.
It's a rough word. What can I say? I was saying that they didn't put the rectal probe up far enough this morning because they didn't find his head. This is the first time they've invoked the 25th Amendment since July 15, 1985, when Reagan went into prostate surgery and Bush was acting president. Now, if you go look at the Tower Commission report, you'll see that everyone who testified says that the day the finding was signed to send the TOW missiles to Israel is July 15, 1985. That means Bush signed it. That's why Reagan couldn't remember it. And it's also why North, who's Bush's boy, had to shred it. Because Bush authorized it. It should have been called Minister Bush. And if Reagan have the...
Be defeated!
Something has to give, and it will.
Good evening. The United States of America is at war.
The S&P from the value line, and that spread will, when it gets strong, start to move up. You're probably going to have a rally in the stock market when it tops out. No, that's too complicated for me. I use it as an indicator of what the market's going to do. Yes. Oh yeah, one of the spreads I wrote about in the Sure Thing Commodity Trading book, in the belly spread for May and June of every year, I think that's worked year in and year out for like 10, 13 years in a row now. Yeah, now those seasonal tendencies are pretty dominant in the markets. One more question, I have a comment, yes. Oh, that's a question I wanted, thank you. Larry, what do you expect the Dow is going to do in the near term?
I'm in
entire tribes have disappeared.
The intermittent fever has appeared at this place and carried off 3/4 of the Indian population.
The Multnomah Indians have become as a tribe extinct. The Multnomah Indians have become as a tribe extinct.
Fourths of the Indian population.
The Multnomah Indians have become as a tribe extinct.
Loving person, you must indeed forego domination and embrace dominion. You must forego the grand promise and accept the spiritual promise. The grand promise which failed and was always a failure. The spiritual promise which has always been there and always fulfilled.
With the source. I revel in the silent song of the breeze. The oppression that begins each moment comes to grip with the mind's eye. And the dark green density of the forest, there is a place where all beings, all consciousness, all experience comes together in the fright of the wasps. And the darkness and secrets of mestizo eyes, and the torrid and raging passion of pagan rituals, all cries, all pleas, all justice, all meanings become visible for the divine in you. For the divine in me. Swept up in the anthem of human progress and the rendering of ourselves to mink coats and alligator shoes, hoping and praying we can remember when we learn to become human. In the beginning, our minds are strong, our hearts are big. We keep believing in love and kindness to our friends, to our enemies. But these values, these few nickels and pennies degenerate our sensitivity. Our soul awakens us from a dreadful sleep. She cannot feed us the rocks and pebbles that sprout from the soil. She cannot kiss us with lips protruding with disease and pollution. She cannot hold us with arms burdened by exploitation. But still, we see our future in her symbols and images, and the beauty of her tapestries, and the horns and guitars, and the dancing in the street, and the cool breezes kissing the desert sands, and in the romance of street people, and in the romance of street people, sincerely pleading, take your time with the dreams, for this is for the people. Take your time with the music, for this is for the people. Take your time with the revolution, for this is for the people. Thank you.
what do you expect the Dow is going to do in the near term? I don't care.
And it's a painful commitment. You gotta see it through.
In looking into this, but another source, if I may go outside of the damn Beerish circle, another source indicated to me that a long time ago, one of the first gifts given to us by the extraterrestrials and given to Harry Truman, of all things, was a sphere.
Welcome to this lecture in which we'll be examining Stalin, the leader of the Soviet Union, and Stalin's rise to prominence, succeeding Lenin. In today's lecture, humble origins, abandoned by his drunken shoemaker father, but doted on by his mother. Magical forms seem to tinge his psychology. Some have suggested that his awesome powers of memory and total recall, the name with the pseudonym of Koba, after a Georgian folk hero, and joined the Bolshevik movement in 1903. His origins were not those, as was the case of many other professional revolutionaries of Lenin's vanguard party, the origins of an intellectual or of a thinker. Rather, his emphasis from the start was on action. The future Stalin became a bank robber who set about expropriating money, as it was called, for the movement and its operations. When we had spoken earlier in our dissection of key elements in ideological regimes, mobster elite, Stalin's bank robber origins, and the mystique that hovered around him as a consequence were a key example of such a mobster leader.
Hey, I heard you scream.
Senatrix from New York, and she was instrumental in making sure that, and her cronies were instrumental in making sure that the Clinton administration carried through the Bush senior policies of deregulating the market.
Sphere was multidimensional. It had six portals. One.
In particular, the best way to achieve your goals against an opponent. That's a use of the word rationality, and of course, there we're starting to get into some rather gray territory.
It was multidimensional.
The Multnomah Indians have become as a tribe extinct. As a tribe extinct. The shores of the river were strewn with the dead and dying.
For only a few years since, they numbered upwards of 100, while now they are said to be less than 30.
The fever and ague have swept off the whole tribe.
Six portals. One of the portals would open up a view of the future.
Look at that little instrument on your desk, on your bed table, hanging on your kitchen wall.
Keep reading them backwards.
I like reading them backwards. Is that one you?
I keep telling you, all of them's me, man.
You look like a monster.
Yeah, well, you know. Well, you see what you're gonna look like.
Me?
Yeah, you're part of story two now.
What story?
A story of my life.
Oh.
Yeah, I know I'm not as interesting as the Little Mermaid and all that magical crap.
I think I'm going to write my own comic.
Oh, yeah? What about?
You have formed impressions of hundreds of people through the wires of that little device, the telephone. And you've never actually met many of them, never seen their smiles, their frowns, never felt their handshake or their hugs.
I'm not sure yet, but not about you. I think you have enough already.
Never seen how they dress, never read their body language. Everything you know about them came through your ears.
One number is the shade of another. Color is the number of seeing. Music is the number of hearing. We build temples of number. We build cities of number. We build worlds of number. We forget ourselves in the contemplation of numbers. This is the highest degree of enjoyment granted to us.
I was the first one they were able to open up, and they saw things they could not understand. And what they saw, I was told, was fire. Fire, fire everywhere.
Opening a new world, childish violence to you. A world you may never have known, being a Hawaiian. Just think, it may be a kind of second childhood, and then maybe you can come over to my house with your little blonde, and we can all play doctor together in my garage. Please write to me, folks. They do let me get mail occasionally, and sometimes I can even smuggle out answers like this one. Write, Dr. Beanbag, please. I need to hear from you.
Self-contained perfection.
We forget ourselves in the contemplation of
this is the
Maybe you can recall someone who cut ahead of you in line at the airport 10 years ago. And what about that old college friend who's ended up being so much more successful than you?
Finally, rationality has to do with not the way to achieve your goals or the best way of competing with an opponent, but rationality has to do with having the right goals. And with this, we go back to the Greeks again. Aristotle, for example, never would have allowed that reason is simply, as modern thinkers have argued, a way of figuring out how to get what you want. Reason is, at least in part, wanting the right things. So there's a sense in which if you look at just these four meanings, you already get a sense of quite a wide spread, from the abstractness and impracticality in one sense of pure mathematics to the, I think, obsessive strategic rationality of something like game theory and trying to figure out how to beat your opponent.
Like the earth was burning up. And they could not comprehend that.
In metaphysics, creeping through the pores in the knittage. It has been made. It's also been slept in, been remade, slept in. Gotta tune it for dead center occasionally, especially this year. Year of the Great Co-opt. Chris, you gotta watch those who reason about reason. They will emulate the emulation and conflagrate the great conflagration. Made, slept in. Wouldn't be so bad if the occupant did the bed making, to say not the least of the sleeping in. But we don't want to get astray from our story, trying to think one's way out of a soggy paper sack. Now do we? Great Net Straw, New Metaphysics, part of Better Media, a semi-formal grouping of media sources attempting to reverse that formula for media today, which says that 99.999% of all media is very, very, very bad. Any media, almost all very bad. Part of Better Media today, group you may not have heard about, New Metaphysics, a member of said group, until they get hip to us, of course. And we'll be walking that scraggly timberline alone once again. Once again. It's kind of like walking a high wire. Not only without the balance pole, but without even a body that is to be balanced. Just the damn wire. Soggy paper sack. But man can try, can't he?
This is the end. My name is Lassie. King
Ben. Well, no need to beat some dead horsemen. Let their entrails be dragged ever anon across the high snowy plateau, fetid story, redundant hero, mislaid plans of mice and men, and they didn't even include the rats. But it's served its purpose. Just a substrate. The story so far. No longer hermetically sealed. As if it ever could.
Deputy Secretary of Defense Paul Wolfowitz substituted for his boss, Donald Rumsfeld. President Bush was not attending, but the goal of the meeting was to reach an agreement on a national security presidential directive.
But as I understand it, that sphere still exists in another device called the Yellow Book, which is a holographic type of record that the J-Rods have. Our history and their history from thousands of years ago to the present and into the future. And some people who have had access to the Yellow Book have accessed the future and have almost gone crazy with what they have seen.
I certainly believe, and it's my subjective experience, that there are male and female masters. And the term the Great White Brotherhood merely speaks of the quality of their light, that's it's so brilliant and so white. Thank you.
I need to write. I need to sit my black mirror ass down and write.
Sickness prevails among the Indians on the Feather River. Some sickness prevails among the Indians on the Feather River.
Rid of all the protections that FDR gave us. See, what FDR's system was very simple. We either owned the system, which FDR proposed. He thought that the idea that private companies should own electricity systems is about as smart as private companies owning street lights or water systems. The way the United States is the last country in the world which still has almost 100% public ownership of water. After electricity, that's what goes next. But FDR thought that was insane and created a system where even if we don't own these guys, we tell them where to stand and salute. We tell them what their prices should be. We tell them exactly, and most important, we tell them exactly how much they must invest in their system maintenance. Not one penny more, not one penny less. And it was decided that that's very unmarket-like, and it's true. And there's no question that the socialized water and power systems that we've had produce the lowest. We have the lowest water rates in the world and the cleanest water. And we used to have the most reliable power systems in the world with the lowest costs in the world. And we've now gone to blackouts and high prices. And that's the miracle of the market.
NSPD. Clark's strategy had three key elements. Arming the Northern Alliance, which was providing resistance against the Taliban inside Afghanistan. Mobilizing Uzbekistan, which shared a border with Afghanistan and whose rulers hated bin Laden. And putting the Predator, an unmanned flying drone used primarily for photo reconnaissance, into action against bin Laden. If the group reached a consensus, Clark's proposals would finally be sent to the president and set in motion. Clark delivered his presentation, and one of the first people to respond, George Tenet, was unqualifiedly supportive. "We really need to aggressively go after these guys," he said. Going after Al-Qaeda was not a tough call, but pushing the policy through the bureaucracy was another story. Hundreds of millions of dollars were needed for Clark's program. Where would the money come from? The principals decided that the Office of Management and Budget and the CIA should step out later. But the question remained unanswered. A bad sign. A bad sign that suggested bureaucratic will. Mobilizing Uzbekistan, which shared a border with Afghanistan and whose rulers hated bin Laden. And putting the Predator, an unmanned flying... Those present included Condoleezza Rice, mobilizing Uzbekistan, which shared a border with Afghanistan and whose rulers hated bin Laden. Democratic will was lacking. Democratic will. Looking after Al-Qaeda was not a tough call. A. Should try to figure that out later. President and set in motion. Three key elements. Arming the Northern Alliance, which was looking after Al-Qaeda, was not a tough call.
The villages which were so populous when we passed that way in January seem almost deserted now and have a desolate appearance.
The few wretched Indians who remain are lying apparently unable to move.
The truth is that, like Kierkegaard, his near contemporary, there was a sense in which his criticism of the Christians that surrounded him was that for all their piousness and self-righteousness, their morals were in fact much more lax. They did not engage in self-discipline. They did not pursue their passions in such a way that it required a real devotion, as opposed to giving lip service to the doctrines which they supposedly believe.
term is used. Brotherhood, I don't have an issue with the word brotherhood. You know, I teach all over the country, and one of the first words that I define for most new students is the source of the term human, that, and therefore man coming out of human, its source is Sanskrit. So hu is a derivative of ha, being one of the many words used for the term spirit or spiritual. And man comes from the Sanskrit word manas, meaning mind. Therefore, human means spirit, mind.
If they didn't destroy those planes, don't land on the beach. That's not exactly, you can't stop a snowball once it's going downhill. But even so, they had even thought, but the difference was the levels between the military tacticians and the political tacticians who didn't meet. See, this was a new Kennedy team. They didn't have, even Maxwell Taylor had never met Kennedy. He wasn't an advisor to him until afterwards. See, Kennedy kept Taylor at the White House to be his military advisor, to guard against this again. He didn't want it to happen again. He kept Maxwell Taylor in the White House. This is very complicated, but you can see how, if we think about it realistically, it makes sense that it could have happened. And it's the unfortunate, I believe it is unfortunate, the unfortunate call. I don't think it was malicious. I mean, an unfortunate call that Bundy made, that Taylor clearly writes, Bundy made. You can read a book. There's a very good book out called Zapata.
Operation Zapata.
And Operation Zapata explains this word by word, signed by Maxwell Taylor. Not by some author. This is Maxwell Taylor. Zapata did nothing but translate the government records into a book cover. So different than it is today. I'm not taking anything off their capability. I'm simply saying that the Bay of Pigs came too early. It was too much, and a little bit too crafty for them to understand at that stage of the game. And it became a disaster, and then it has never been explained properly. The words of Zapata, the Operation Zapata, explain it, but you have to know what it's all about to read it properly.
I need to write. I need to sit my black narrow ass down and write. Yeah, the hustle got me hustling, but I'm muscling myself out of time for me. Well, what about me, I ask? What about the stories that I need to tell? I need to write. Cause can't nobody do it for me. Can't nobody document my inspirations the way I can. Can't nobody compliment my aspirations the way I can. Only I can, only I can, only I can. So I need to write. I need to gather up some words and write. I need to gather some thoughts and write. I need to write because I'm tired of the same old pieces. I know y'all tired of hearing the same old pieces because the same old pieces got the same old problems. But I got new problems, more problems, problems to change, problems to rearrange. This homeless cat asked me for some money but got mad at me because I ain't got no spare change. I need to write. Me and my girl been arguing. I need to write. My boy told me that I need to take it to the next level, so I need to write. My pops died and it's hard dealing with it. I need to write. I know y'all can't wait for the book. I need to write. I need to write. I need to write. They done stole my hoopty. I need to write. The cop said I fit the description. I need to write. Wait, hold on. You mean to tell me that my wallet look like a gun? I need to write. My little brother got mugged by some grown thug. I need to write. You talking about being behind my back? I need to write. I ain't got it no more. I need to write. My ex tried to fuck my boy. I need to write. The weather been acting awfully funny. I need to write. It's time to take Jesus off that cross. I need to write. Cops killing brothers. Cops killing sisters. Free Mamiya. I need to write. Wait. You gonna kick off World War III and possibly draft me? I need to write. Also, I'm gay because I don't want to fuck you. I need to write. They were taking good care of the little Cuban boy. What about the shorty? In the projects, I need to write. You saying I'm bogus because I didn't come to your event because I was tired? I need to write. I distinctly remember asking for 6 wings of mild sauce. Why does it only have 4? I need to write. I think about writing in third person because the first is hurting. Life is a job and the verse is working. My soul is rehearsing for when the Lord pulls the curtain. Words are words, or maybe it's your actions is doing the cursing. I need to write. Just yesterday, it was illegal for me to write. I'm gonna pen that. I need to write.
Love, for example, is very resilient. Love can bounce. Love can be twisted and turned. Love can be dropped and it can come back. You can hurt love and it will come back, and in that sense it can be rebounding.
You by the Bush Boys. And of course, this didn't come cheaply, not to us, but the politician of the market, brought to you by the Bush Boys, charged big time to turn your lights out. $18 million to $19 million in the year 2000 election cycle to the power companies. $7 to 1 for the Republicans. Because despite Bill Clinton's slavish efforts on behalf of the power industry, he would never go as far as the Bush family.
And the Bush family, President Bush, with his close ties to Kenny Boy Lay, his old buddy, old family friend Ken Lay, head of the Enron Corporation, that
the Enron conspiracy, yeah,
and put so many people out of jobs in Texas and out of electricity in California. Bush was making a campaign swing through California, and he said he was confident we'd get things back up and running, according to the Wall Street Journal. But he said he apparently used the occasion in California to pitch his own controversial plan to modernize the energy grid.
Yeah, well, I mean, good luck. I mean, this is a guy, for example, on December 20th, just before 2000, just before Bill Clinton leaves office, he signed an executive order barring Enron trading in California and putting a lid on the prices there. Within 3 days of Bush getting into office in January 2000, you know, they're still sweeping out those champagne bottles out of the Oval Office, and he signs an executive order letting Enron back in, letting the power pirates back into California, ripping the lid off, resulting in literally billions of dollars of excess charges to California, enriching his buddy. I mean, of course, didn't matter how much money you sucked out of ratepayers' pockets, Enron figured out a way to try to kite it into, you know, move it offshore into oblivion. But
matter, of course, because even something that bounces can eventually lose its bounce, can eventually break. But it is resilient in that way. Whereas trust is not. Trust is not resilient. Trust is tremendously fragile. It is like a delicate fine crystal. If you drop it, it breaks. And if you have this thing that is love, and we don't encourage you just throw it out there to anybody, but in that same thing, if you do, it can still bounce. But trust is very fragile. If you give it to someone who cannot hold it, or who will not hold it, it'll break.
Developed relatively stable economies, and they're just going to keep chugging forward. In perhaps a not very exciting, but a rate of, you know, 1-2% a year.
Fucking computer. I can't
Dedicate this song to my girlfriend, America Sanchez, but especially to my three dogs, Jenny, Marta, and Baby.
Oh, beautiful, for spacious sky, for amber waves of rain. For purple mountain majesty, above the fruited plain, America, oh America, God shed his grace on thee. Incline thy good brotherhood from sea to shining sea.
Oh, beautiful. Oh, you're so beautiful with your spacious skies and those amber waves of grain. Purple mountain majesties above that fruited plain. America, oh my America, may God thy gold refine. All success be noble and every gain. Sometimes you're not so sweet, but I love, 'cause you're my home, my home, sweet home. Sometimes when I see you clean. Never want to leave you. No, no.
I love. Greetings to Peter Peterson from WCKY in Cincinnati, Ohio, USA.
WCKY.
Jim Branny. I am chief engineer of WCKY. The station is over 50 years old. It went on the air in September of 1929 in Covington, Kentucky. And that is where the call letters come from. The C for Covington and the KY, Kentucky. It started out in that year with 500 watts on 1,490 kilocycles. Progressed through the years until our present power of 50,000 watts day and night with a directional antenna aimed southeast of Cincinnati, which is used 3 hours after local sunset until local sunrise. This is to protect a station on 1530 kilohertz in Sacramento, California, KFBK. Antenna system, the three tower array, referred to in the United States as a dogleg array. The transmitter is a Harris type MW50, which uses a pulse duration modulation. The alternate main transmitter is a 50 kilowatt General Electric, approximately 30 years old. The Harris transmitter is relatively new, about 3 years old.
Well, Sundays nothing ever seems to turn out right. You want to let Cincinnati know you've got a gripe. Ohio, Kentucky, Indiana.
We use Ampro consoles, Ampro and ITC cart machines, and a few old tape casters. The Ampro console is a 12-channel mono with 48 inputs. We have several studios. There's a main control room. There's a production studio with an identical 12-channel Ampro console. A music studio where all our music is dubbed from records onto broadcast-type cartridges. We also have, at the music studio, uses a Ramco console. We have another Ramco 8-channel console in the studio off of our new game.
Would report me to immigration and he made me suck. But today I bet. I bet. I bet.
You're right. End of the matter. You've come up with a reason. I have said, in effect, this reason justifies the claim that you've made. I'll reach the claim. I'll agree to the claim on the basis of the reason that you've given.
In 1945, Arthur C. Clarke, who had gone to school in mathematics and physics, and in fact was a navigation officer attached to the ground control guidance system that the English used during the Battle of Britain, and was one of the very first people to help develop the ability to fly in bad weather, which was a major, major weapon on the side of the Allies during the war. Clarke recognized that if you had a satellite in an orbit that matched its speed of rotation with that of the Earth, it would be possible to bounce signals over the horizon line. And all of our modern communications now, holding the world together via communication satellite, is based on this idea. Sad to say, he published it first in a technical journal before he used it in a science fiction magazine. So in that sense, you might say that no real invention ever appeared for...
We talk of enhancing visualization. You may see more clearly, absolutely.
we would suggest here more important than that. You are going to sense more deeply, more profoundly, more wholly, more completely. There are four things that we want to remind you of as we embark upon these 28 days of exciting exploration. When you develop your ability to visualize, you also enhance your ability to sense. The more clearly and precisely you will allow yourself, the more detail, the nuance, the shadow, the shading that you will allow in the things that you visualize, the more attention to detail you will pay, the reward will be a deepening of the ability to sense. Number two, when you improve your capacity to imagine, you also enhance your capacity to sense. Now, you obviously have an adequate imagination. You can imagine enough, as you have, as we've often said, a reality that is filled, all 360 degrees of it. There are no blank holes or white empty spots where nothing exists because your imagination failed or faltered about halfway through the circle or whatever. No, you imagine enough. But certainly so, as you improve the capacity to imagine, you enhance the capacity to sense. Number three, enhanced visualization may or may not enhance your seeing. Enhanced visualization may or may not improve your seeing, but it will definitely improve your sensing, your understanding, your awareness of what you are experiencing more than just seeing it. Seeing what you are experiencing certainly is valuable, and most of you and many of you will improve that. But understanding what you are sensing or what you are experiencing, that's what sensing is all about. And that absolutely, when you enhance your visualization, you may or may not enhance your seeing, but you definitely will enhance your sensing. And finally, visualization is in the form of seeing is not essential. Visualization in the form of seeing is not essential. Visualization, however, in the form of sensing is essential to altered and changed states of consciousness. Visualization in the form of seeing is not essential. Visualization in the form of sensing is essential to allow the altered and change state work to be effective. If you will work with us now over these next 28 days, honestly work with us, you will absolutely enhance your visualization.
Welcome to Lecture 11. World where the time order of events can be different. And what about this business of faster than light? And how is that coupled with questions of causality?
Is how can that be the case? How can it be the case that consciousness can actually move matter? That my conscious decision to raise my arm can cause my arm to go up? To answer that question, I have to introduce a distinction that we've been using implicitly And that is the distinction between the description of the same system at different levels, at a micro level and at a macro level. Now, we can give a micro level description of my arm going up in terms of the neuron firings and the neurotransmitters. I won't give it in detail, but in a broad outline, what happens is this. There are a series of neuron firings which cause and realize my intention. They reach the motor cortex, and a series of neuron firings from the motor neurons extend all the way to the axon end plates of my muscles. And we actually know the neurotransmitter that carries this signal from the brain to the muscles is called acetylcholine, and the acetylcholine at the synaptic connections. Oh, the answer to the problem of epiphenomenalism is that there can be causal relations within a system at different levels, and the causal relations are real at each level. Car engine is one of the few things I understand fairly well. Think of the piston. Now, the solidity of the piston is explainable in terms of the behavior of the molecules, but that doesn't mean solidity is epiphenomenal. You've got to have a solid piston. You can't make a piston out of butter, for example, because the car won't work. So solidity is real, even though the solidity is itself explained by the behavior of the molecules, and in exactly that sense, I want to say consciousness is real. It's a real causal force in the world, even though, of course, it is a feature of a system that is composed of neurons, and the conscious feature is caused.
It is not starvation, as they have considerable quantities of their winter stock of acorns remaining. The natives along here seem even more wretched than those on the Feather River. The villages seem almost wholly depopulated.
The fever and ague was never known in this country before 1829.
The unhappy wretches are found in ones or twos in little thickets of bushes. The unhappy wretches are found in ones or twos in little thickets of bushes.
Some sickness prevails among the Indians on the Feather River.
Only two women are left. The Indians are all dead. Only two women are left.
As a tribe, extinct. To have nearly become extinct in consequence. The fever and ague was never known in this country before 1829.
On the whole, our available information gives the impression that the mortality rate ran somewhere between 40 and 100%. The latter value is undoubtedly excessive, although, to be sure, the incidence, as opposed to the mortality, may well have reached that figure. 40% seems too slow. At this point, it will be remembered that the evidence pertaining to the malaria epidemic on the Columbia River indicated a mortality among the Indians of approximately 75%. Since all the circumstances were very similar in the two regions being considered, and since what California data we have support rather than disclaim the conclusion, we may set the mortality in California at the same value as for Oregon, that is, 75%.
People you do not see. We are the ones who drive your cabs. We clean your rooms and suck your cocks.
Hello.
neurons. All right, that's always our first question then. What is the nature of the mind-body interaction?
They gave him Valium for the pain, and he said immediately that he couldn't feel anything. And I remember questioning the nurses and being concerned, and the nurse said, "Oh, it's just from the Valium."
That is 75%. That is, the unhappy wretches are found in ones or twos in little thickets of bushes. 75%.
We are informed by the Indians that they have no traditions of any similar scourge in past times.
This is a startling and disturbing result. It means that fully 20,000 natives of the Great Central Valley died in 1833. My own opinion is that
they did this test.
It means that three quarters of the Indians
and saw this
70 years of Mexican
occlusion of the spinal artery
in one summer. It means that the red race in the heart of California was so crippled that it was
and it's very, doctors are very strange. I guess it's very hard to give someone very bad news, but they don't really, they're very unclear and very indirect.
And how can we answer that question in a way that avoids epiphenomenalism?
And we discovered, well, we can understand nature, but then nature was defined as material nature. The atom, you know, the mathematics, the geometry, the pivot, you know. And so then for 400, 500 years now, we've been discovering nature, and the human nature and nature, and we've been breaking away from that spirit. In fact, we're scared of spirit because we associate spirit with the Inquisition, with some sort of auto da fe, you know, so we're like running away from the spirit. But in fact, and we think our Renaissance is over, and then some people even say, well, that was no good, the rest of the Enlightenment ended, it caused a lot of trouble, and they're even like giving up. But our Renaissance really gets rolling when we lose it. So this is where I have to hail to you, Deepak, because in a way you are the voice of India. And ironically, you are educated as a Western. You know, when we did our Bionic Mind, it was so funny because you were like doing science and I was doing India. I was saying, but wait a minute, Indian science, remember? It was like really, it was counterpoint. But you see, India gives us the courage that we can understand. Who, isn't that preposterous? Who do you think? If you said today, you went and announced to your employees, to your friends, to your relatives, I understand my nature, I understand the nature of reality. If you went and announced that, what do you think they would do? They would offer you a dish of Prozac. They would, or St. John's wort, I hope, or maybe just some nice Ayurvedic remedy. Because the religious, you can't do that. Only God knows that on the religious side in the West. So nobody can know everything. And on the scientific side, you know how they do. They get billions of dollars. And they study and study. And then when they run out of the dollars, they proclaim, aha, we learned a great deal. And now we know so much more about how much we don't know. So give us another grant. Because in principle, you cannot know. You cannot understand. And sometimes, of course, they do announce when their grant providers are getting discouraged with them. They occasionally announce that, well, we will be knowing another 60 years of calculations will bear us out. We'll have the grand theory. So give us another 60 years to prove it. Whereas in India, from this ancient time, they're saying, you don't need a machine. You don't even need mathematics. I mean, that's an ornament, mathematics. These machines are useful. All right, but you don't need that because you are the wondrous machine. Long before computers in the cybernetic age, you are the wondrous machine that can turn around in your footsteps, look back into yourself, and fully understand yourself. Completely understand that you are...
just have to try to figure it out. They described what they found, but they didn't. But I could tell from the look on their face that it was really bad. But when Chuck was going to go to Rusk, which is the rehab hospital attached to NYU, Mark Greenwald and I went on a little tour of Rusk into what was as close to hell on earth as I can imagine. All of these adults with brain injuries and spinal cord injuries and strokes, and their grieving families. And Mark and I just looked at each other and started bawling, just started crying.
But sometimes the reasons won't be deemed satisfactory. Capital punishment is murder. How do you know? Well, it's killing people, isn't it? Yeah, but that's just a play on words.
The structure. It's really a very simple structure. The first premise of the argument is the definition of a program. It follows from Turing's definition of a program that the program is defined in terms of the manipulation of formal symbols. I gave an example of zeros and ones, but they needn't be zeros and ones. Any system of formal symbols where the machine can identify a symbol solely in virtue of its shape or form. I don't know what it means. It's a meaningless symbol. I shuffle a bunch of other symbols. Unknown to me, that symbol means, do you understand Chinese? I don't know that. I look it up and then I give back another symbol in the same dialect. There are a very large number of not very good books and even worse PhD theses. Most famous answers. The first one that I heard, I thought was very revealing. One of the leading figures in the field said to me, but look, suppose we program you in the Chinese room to answer the question, do you understand Chinese?
We want you to first gather supplies. We want you to get a candle, and we want you to get a piece of fruit. The candle, any kind you want, any color you want, place it on in some kind of container or whatever so that you can light it and stare at it and work with it. The fruit, we recommend the apple, an orange, or a lemon, another kind of fruit. Kiwi might be interesting, a banana might be fun, but nonetheless, to get a piece of fruit. And what you're going to do is take a wedge, not the whole of fruit, you're going to cut a wedge of fruit and place it on a plate, paper plate, or whatever. And what you're going to use are these two supplies all week long. You're going to do the following. You're going to light the candle and you're going to stare at it, eyes open, focusing on it, thinking only of the candle, looking at the flame, watching the flame, watching the wick, watching the wax, watching the shape of it each day. And each day, of course, the candle's going to change some. The second day, the third day, the fourth, however number of days, it's going to change, and you're going to study it for 3 whole minutes. Set your timer if you must, but 3 whole minutes.
Suppose we program you in the Chinese room.
Then we want you to close your eyes.
To answer the question, do you understand Chinese?
In your eyes, we want you to stare at it in the meditative state and visualize it. Create it in your mind's eye. Create the visual. Oh, we know this is tedious, but this is the most tedious of all the activities. Let's say to get through this, the rest becomes much more fun. But do this. Do this. It is essential.
So they give me this question in Chinese. Do you understand Chinese? And I give back the answer. Yeah, sure thing. I understand Chinese.
part of the mechanics and the foundation. Very important. So you visualize the candle for 3 whole minutes. Again, 3 whole minutes. Then in that same thing, you open your eyes and you stare at the candle once again for another 60 seconds, for another minute, a total of 7 minutes completely. Then we want you to look at the wedge of fruit now, the wedge of fruit, and do the same thing. 3 whole minutes of staring at it, looking at it, noticing every nuance, not thinking about anything else, only it.
Now, what does that prove? I think it proves nothing. Let's go.
Closing your eyes, 3 minutes, and while your eyes are closed, visualizing it as clearly as you can, then open your eyes.
Go through it. I get in a symbol that looks like this. You have to forgive my Chinese writing. This is a dialect of Chinese you probably won't recognize. I get in a symbol that looks like that. I don't know what it means. This is a meaningless symbol. I shuffle a bunch of other symbols. Unknown to me, that symbol means, do you understand Chinese? I don't know that. I look it up, and then I give back another symbol in the same dialect that looks like that.
It again. Now don't, when you're done, 14 minutes in all, don't throw the candle or the wedge of fruit away. No. Use the same candle, use the same wedge of fruit tomorrow. Obviously, by the third or fourth day, the candle will change. Obviously, the fruit will have changed significantly by the third. You can refrigerate it in between. That's all right. And in that sense, if you're taking more than 7 days, you might want to begin again with the second wedge of fruit. But nonetheless, you get a point. We want you to visualize it each day as you see it that day.
Confirmed by the Indians that they have no traditions of any similar scourge in past times.
The fever and ague was never known in this country before the year 1849.
Prior to the year 1830, when the ague and fever, or any disease resembling it, was not known to exist.
Malaria epidemic. We are informed by the Indians that they have no traditions of any similar scourge in past times.
The unhappy wretches are found in ones or twos in little thickets of bushes.
That is 75%. We are informed by the Indians. In the beginning, there was no beginning.
And unknown to me, that symbol means, why do you guys ask me these dumb questions? Can't you see I understand Chinese? I've been answering questions in Chinese all week. A lot of semantic content packed into that symbol. Okay, what does that show? Nothing. That is, the fact that I can behave systematically as if I understood Chinese and can even answer the question, do you understand Chinese, in the affirmative, shows nothing about
that
my understanding.
Then stare at it, a total of 14 minutes. Now, to compound this, we want you to listen to the second side of this cassette. Yes, we want you to listen to the second side of this cassette. Music, yes, but also communication. We're going to be working with you while you're doing this, while your mind is focused in that regard, while that left brain is focused. We're going to be working with the right brain in that regard.
What? What's wrong, Ruby? What are you doing up?
Tell me the truth. My guy writes about himself in a comic book.
On the record, I'm not creating a record here. I'm simply stating what is in the record there.
But pushing the policy through the bureaucracy was another story. Hundreds of millions of dollars were needed for Clark's program. Where would the money come from? The principals decided that the Office of Management and Budget and the CIA.
And since you are a growth-seeking, evolving being, from where you stood prior to your emergence into this body, it seemed to be the perfect time. In fact, the greatest of all times.
Well, that conscious part, we're going to be working with the unconscious part, so listen to the second side of this tape.
Thought. There's nothing in you separate from the great self of the universe, as the Vedantic would say, and Buddha would say, you are selfless with regard to that petty self, and your great self of selflessness is at one with all beings.
Army occupying Kuwait would hardly be touched. Instead, targets all over Iraq would be obliterated.
Imagine Iraq like a human body. What happens if you sever their spinal cord? They can't function, right?
Tomahawk cruise missile, F-14 Tomcats, devastating JP-233 bombs, target of the most intense aerial bombardment the world has ever known. American B-52s flying high above the reach of Iraqi fire.
Casualties on the Iraqi side are extremely high.
Saddam Hussein must be seen to be the loser.
This was tremendous. Baghdad was lit up like a Christmas tree.
1,300 sorties so far.
The first airstrikes were probing, testing the efficiency of Baghdad's defenses. On Friday, the tactics changed to heavy saturation bombing.
They're saying that they didn't put the Rexel probe up far enough this morning because they didn't find his head. This is the first time they've invoked the 25th Amendment since July 15, 1985, when Reagan went into prostate surgery and Bush was acting president. Now, if you go look at the Tower Commission report, you'll see that everyone who testified says that the day the finding was signed to send the TOW missiles to Israel is July 15, 1985. That means Bush signed it. That's why Reagan couldn't remember it. And it's also why North, who's Bush's boy, had to shred it, because Bush authorized it. It should have been called surrogate, not contragate. And someday, 10 years down the pike, we'll find out from 7:37 to 9:30 this morning what Cheney did. So they didn't make him president for nothing.
Stand up like that!
Joyce.
What? What's wrong, Ruby? What are you doing up?
Tell me the truth. Am I a guy who writes about himself in a comic book? Or am I just a character in that book?
What are you talking about? What are you saying?
If I die, will that character keep going? Or will he just fade away?
Harvey! 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 Oh my God. Harvey, wake up. Wake up, Harvey. Come on. Harvey. Oh no.
Doing the first week of activity.
Harvey, can you hear me?
We'll include little clues.
My name's Harvey Pekar. But it's an unusual name, Harvey Pekar. 1960 was the year I got my first apartment and my first phone book. Now imagine my surprise when I looked up my name and saw that in addition to me, another Harvey Pekar was listed. Now, I was listed as Harvey L. Pekar. My middle name is Lawrence. And he was listed as Harvey Pekar. Therefore, his was a pure list. Then in the 70s, I noticed that a third Harvey Pekar was listed in the phone book. Now, this filled me with curiosity. How could it be three people with such an unusual name in the world, let alone in one city? Then one day, a person I work with expressed her sympathy to me concerning what she thought was the death of my father. And she pointed out an obituary notice in the newspaper for a man named Harvey Pekar. And one of his sons was named Harvey. These were the other Harvey Pekars. And 6 months later, Harvey Pekar Jr. died. Although I'd met neither man, I was filled with sadness. What were they like, I thought? It seemed our lives had been linked in some indefinable way. But the story does not end there. For 2 years later, another Harvey Pekar appeared in the phone book. Who are these people? Where did they come from? What did they do? What's in the name? Who is Harvey Pekar?
let's, with that in mind, go through some of the other replies. I mentioned the system's reply, but another famous reply I call the robot reply, and here's how it goes. Imagine not a computer in a room by itself answering questions in Chinese, but imagine that we built a robot, and the robot could answer questions in Chinese, but it clanks around in the world. I mean, it actually bangs up against things and lifts things and moves around and walks around. Wouldn't the robot, just in virtue of the program, come to understand the words of Chinese or any other language because the robot is engaged in causal interactions with the rest of the world? I think the robot is no better off than the original machine in the room. Why? Well, imagine the example that I gave a little bit. I imagine myself in the room. Now we imagine a robot, but imagine that it's a great big robot, and inside the robot's cranium is a room. And guess who's in that room? Me. I am in the room, and I get in symbols that come from the robot's television cameras. It's got television cameras, and then it has the transducers that converts the information from the television cameras into a bunch of meaningless Chinese symbols that are meaningless to me. They come into the room, and I process them. Unknown to me, I am getting symbols from the robot's sensory apparatus, and I'm giving out symbols to the robot's motor apparatus that enable it to clank its way through the world. But I'm on a special hydraulic set of springs. I don't even detect the motion.
Now that's really interesting, Clarice. I'm really pressed for time. So where's the key? Where's the key? Okay. Above or below the wrist, Clarice?
When your three minute and 1 minute intervals are up, so that in that same thing you can just use the second side of the tape as the timer if you don't want to get your kitchen timer, if you don't want to involve that in the process. Okay, that's your first 7 or 14 days of activity. Now it gets more exciting, absolutely. The second week, or the second segment, what we want you to do is we want you to go and tack on to the end of any meditation. We want you to visualize. We want you to visualize a box. Now, you can design it any way you want, as big as small, made out of any material you want. We want you to visualize a box. And as you visualize it, and note every bit of detail, because you're going to write about it later, as you visualize every single detail, we want you to then open the box. Open the box.
I'm there in a locked room. I can see nothing, and I am processing these symbols. I am the robot's homunculus. I'm the little man inside the brain of the robot. But unlike the homunculus of classical philosophical theory, I don't understand anything. And
as clearly as you can, and look inside, and you'll find a resistance. You'll find a resistance, maybe a word, maybe a picture, maybe a memory, maybe your higher self will tell you something, maybe a montage of images, a montage of words, maybe an abstract item will show up, maybe a gust of wind, and it'll speak to you in a whispered voice. However it comes to you.
They made up beginnings later to prove to themselves that it was later. If every later had been a now, there would have been no excuse. Let me say right now that they have lied to us.
Mm-hmm.
coat this month.
Oh, a cowboy needs a horse.
Needs a horse.
And a cowboy needs a hat.
Needs a hat.
And a cowboy needs a rope.
Find the resistance. The resistance to visualization. The resistance to enhancing that visualization. It will come to you. After you've done this, and we again encourage you, listen to the second triad of this cassette. Listen to it and work with it in that regard, for it will work with you to enhance this experience. We would suggest when you come out to the visualization, with the music still playing perhaps, we would suggest here write down a detailed description of the box and, of course, most importantly, what is the resistance. Each day, it may be the same. It may be a different resistance, the box taking on more detail or may shift and change, but each day visualize the box and look inside and find the resistance.
The planet has brought to our attention then these aboriginal practices, because they are the other half of the equation. What we have brought forward is little truths like energy equals mass times the velocity of light squared, so forth and so on. We are the masters of matter and energy, but not the masters of our own dreams, our own spiritual striving. For that, we are going to have to infuse our sense of technical accomplishment with the heart, basically, the heart that these Aboriginal cultures have kept intact. The next few years are going to be wild and woolly, wilder and woollier than anything we have seen so far. This tendency of things to appear to be getting both better and worse is going to be itself exacerbated tremendously. And people who have outmoded or silly or incomplete or insufficient models of reality are going to find themselves running very, very hard to catch up with a rising sense of anxiety.
You like to think when it's over, your things would feel more than a cardboard box.
John's parents don't want it. Any of it. Except the doll. Don't want to be reminded.
I want to be reminded.
But there's another meaning of rationality that runs through the history of philosophy. It is perhaps most clear in Plato and in Socrates, but it continues through certainly to the 20th century. You find it, for example, in some of the European phenomenologists at the beginning of this century, and you still find it in some analytic philosophers in England and America. But basically, it's the notion. That reason is the royal road to the truth.
Formally declared war.
Ambassador, you have virtually the entire world community ranged against you.
It is an American game.
At this point, I'm not looking through my goggles. I'm looking at the TV screen. I gave the code word GISSOM.
Mr. Ambassador, we bid you good morning.
GISSOM.
AWACS planes, packed with computer equipment, helped control the battle.
I swept my gun.
Iraqi soldiers ran through the crosshairs.
Vietnam is a ghost we carried with us.
Gradually, they are being starved, quite apart from the aerial bombardment.
Daybreak saw no letter. New targets were sought out. Some of those not destroyed overnight returned to.
Allied aircraft have now flown a total of 4,000 sorties.
Many people are dying at the moment, Mr. Ambassador.
67 hit records have been banned by the BBC for reasons of sensitivity. Phil Collins, In the Air Tonight, Boom Bang a Bang by Lulu, and Cat Stevens, I'm Gonna Get Me a Gun. Yet the record most requested by our boys in the Gulf is Barry Maguire's The Needle of Destruction.
What we cannot be proud of, Mr. Speaker, is the unshaven, shaggy-haired, drug culture, poor excuses for Americans wearing their tiny, round, wire-rimmed glasses, a protester's symbol of the Blame America First crowd, out in front of the White House, burning the American flag.
But the main development in the war is tonight's Scud missile attack on Israel.
Saddam Hussein has now twice sent extremely dangerous weapons into the middle of a built-up area.
Most intense air attack since the Second World War.
Has now twice.
The system dispenses hundreds of tiny bomblets.
Has now twice.
Allied planes have
been over 8,000 missiles.
Has now twice.
The attacks on Baghdad, Tikrit, Samawa, Nasiriya, and Basra.
The electricity gone off everywhere in the whole city. There's no water, no telephone. No communications for anybody.
Military briefings have emphasized the threat still posed by Iraq's Scud missiles.
2,000 sorties a day.
Scud targets, Scud launchers,
Scud launching sites, Scud missile attacks,
Scud missiles,
Scud rockets,
Scud sites,
Scud sites,
Scud rockets.
No one has yet been killed in these Scud missile attacks. They're extremely inaccurate.
Search for Scuds.
Three Scud missile launchers.
Scud targets.
Scud missiles.
They've now flown 10,000 sorties.
This question here described the impact of the Scud as feeble, extremely frightening.
12,000 Allied sorties.
President Saddam Hussein's Scud rocket
exerted a powerful grip on the public imagination.
He acknowledged Scuds are a weapon of terror.
Saying that Scuds are a danger to your nation is like saying that lightning is a danger to your nation.
Now we're ready for week number three. Now we're ready to begin this third week of activity. This time again, using the music and using the communication that is hidden within the music and spoken over the music on the second triad of this cassette. We want you to blend with your higher self and to blend with us. We want you to go into meditation, tacking it on. Any other meditation is fine, of course. And we want you to visualize your higher self. And we want you to visualize us, the two of us, there with you. And we want you to allow us and your higher self to work on you behind your eyes. To sense your eyes filled with a pale color. Pick any color you like, but visualize it pale, as though that pale color is filling your eyes. Higher self is reaching behind your eyes, and we are reaching behind your eyes. Them with their fingers, we with our light, to enhance and to change, to realign your brain, to realign the patterns in your brain that will allow greater visualization. And this is what you do for the 15 minutes or so each day in this third segment or this third week of activity. Now to the fourth week and the final week. And we would suggest again using similarly the same music combination that is on the second side of this cassette. We want you to go into visualization time, whether it's tacked onto a meditation or whether it's a regional state. We want you to go into meditation And in that meditation, we want you to see the candle, what it looks like now. It's 3 weeks later. That's right. Or actually, 2 weeks since the last time you looked at it. But what does it look like now? And what does the fruit look like now? What does the fruit look like now? Now, in fact, you threw it away 2 weeks ago, the fruit at least, and perhaps have used the candle elsewhere. But what would it look like now to extrapolate the visualization? To extrapolate the visualization. And as you do that in that sensing, then we want you to see the box. See the box that at this point now, a week ago, you worked on creating, visualizing. See how much more clearly, how much more enhanced that box looks. And with the candle and the fruit and the box, we want you to then open the box, and inside the box, no longer the resistance. Now you will find the gift. Now you will find a gift from us, a gift from your higher self and from us, that will allow you to go forth visualizing more clearly, more precisely, more concisely, with greater accuracy, with greater insight, with greater value, that will generate and produce greater success.
Since the advent of the bomb, the fallout in the atmosphere seems to have affected people. I walked by a funeral parlor the other day that had a sign in the window that read closed because of a birth in the family.
Way to begin the day. Are we doing CPR?
Mm-hmm.
1 mil epi. Let me see this.
man, you crazy looking good. Got your own fridge, fucking computer, a huge TV. Outstanding.
Where's Gary?
Spin?
Really when I started to understand what had really happened to him. And he was at rest for about 7 months. I followed the occupational therapist down to the cafeteria one day. She was a lovely woman, really. She was wonderful. Her name is Phyllis Palsgrove. And Chuck was still very sick. He couldn't sit up without his blood pressure dropping so low that he was, you know, in danger of becoming unconscious. He had all sorts of physical problems. Still, everything was not working. And, but I said, you know, this man is not meant to string beads on pipe cleaners. You have to give him a brush and paint and pencils as soon as possible. Figure out some way for him to work.
Often through tiny little wires from hundreds of miles away. But you recognize their voices. You feel you...
We're friends. I'm not going to say anything about you and Gary breaking into the house.
All right.
Hey, Schumacher, we drive on this side. Wait for me. So what's with the eyes? Whoa.
Sorry.
Hey.
Sorry. What's the smell?
Hmm? Oh, that. It's me. This is Mike Colon. It's called Burundi. Just brought it back from Casablanca. You could have some if you like.
No. So long, long. You used to work for the government, right?
Guilty, Your Honor.
What'd you do for them?
If I tell you, I'd have to kill you. I was attached to foreign embassies of the United States.
Oh, so you were a diplomatic attaché.
Oh, that's exactly it, mon ami. As noble a euphemism as there is.
Big John, you were a spy, huh?
Mon Dieu, such a vulgar accusation.
Well, look me in the eye and deny it, then.
In order to be a loving person, that shift is very important. Secondly, to be a spiritual person, you have to forego, sacrifice your desire and the function and fact of your domination. You must forego it. To look at that a little closer, spirituality is your relationship with God, Goddess, all that is. To have an active, growing, responding spirituality, not one that you drag out on Sunday morning for 1 hour, or Wednesday evening if you must, or Saturday, if indeed you want to be a little different, but needs to be a living, breathing, active embracing of God, Goddess, all that is. Now, the very function of domination is to rule, is to control. The very function of domination is to alienate yourself in the attempts to place yourself above, in an elevated, superior position. Now, how can you do that and have a living, breathing, embracing relationship from an elevated, superior position to God, Goddess, all that is? When you look at it in those terms, which is truly the only term you can't look at it, it becomes very obvious it is impossible. To become one with, to become part of, to reconnect with something that by the very nature of your domination is beneath you, that is separate from you, that you are superior to. It does not take a great deal of intelligence or a great deal of thinking to understand clearly the two are in juxtaposition to one another and they shall not converge. Therefore, when I say I want to be a spiritual person and that I want to make my spirituality, on spirituality as a whole, my main focus, my main goal, the driving force of my existence, and I also want to dominate, you end up standing still, which is also a non-existent place and therefore moving backward. For reality is moving forward. If you're standing still, in effect, you're going backward. So to dominate and be spiritual can't be done. Now, many will try to drag their domination with them. That's where the old eye and the needle mythology comes. To squeeze through that small opening into those spiritual realms, you simply can't take your domination with you. But many will try and get stuck and fall back, making room for others to try and get stuck and fall back. So to the extent that you can in your heart honestly feel that urge, that draw, that pull to be spiritual.
I can't.
Why not?
Because your eyes should be on the road. As if I was a spy.
What would you think of me then, Monk?
Well, I'd think that you really are just like James Bond, except James Bond doesn't go around blowing boys.
That's how powerful a telephone is. Powerful, yes, but not always accurate. Have you ever had a telephone relationship with someone, and then you met them? They didn't look anything like they seemed on the phone.
The man was down in the ER for so long.
Yes, it is.
17 codes. God. 17 codes. Okay, stop CPR. That's it. I'm calling it. 602.
Spirits were part of the job.
Clear!
For the most part, behind two huge television towers.
Thank you.
never fully understand and comprehend the absolute, all-encompassing meaning of being a metaphysician. Nonetheless, you know enough that you are not just claiming an empty title, an empty position. You do know enough if you let yourself stop long enough to breathe, stop long enough to let it in, stop long enough to understand you are a metaphysician. Often you're also afraid of the obligations, of the responsibilities that somehow entailed in being a metaphysician. And yes, there are certain responsibilities, admittedly, such as always seeking the highest truth, certainly so. There is a certain responsibility to honour the very tradition, the very heritage of being a metaphysician, for there have been those who have sought and who have found that level, that awareness, through all ages, through all civilizations, through all cultures. There have been that relatively small handful who have, and thus a tradition, east and west and north and south, a tradition and a heritage, which indeed, as a metaphysician, you hold a responsibility to honour. Similarly, there is the responsibility, the obligation, to always view your world through the eyes of your spirituality, through the eyes of your relationship with God, Goddess, all that is, through the eyes of your soul. There is the responsibility to seek your soul's path, to find your way home. But in doing that, you are meeting those obligations. You are meeting those requirements. There is a responsibility to always seek how you are creating the reality that you are experiencing, to feel your emotions, certainly so, to express and to release those that constrict, that get in the way, to express and release those that expand, and to always look for how am I creating it. Yes, those are certain responsibilities, but you need not be afraid of them. You are already doing them. And therefore time to accept and let in is you are the metaphysician. You also know that you are reluctant because you use the desire to become that preparation, that learning, as a motivation. You use your desire to seek something that you don't have. Not just greener pastures, not just something somebody else has, but you use your own seeking as a motivation. And therefore, if you were to own it, if you are to accept it, all right, I'm a metaphysician, I truly am, somehow already that accomplishment will smack of complacency or of stagnation. And we would suggest here that certainly that is a fear. And it takes character. It takes the character to realize, even though I have reached a certain level where others might stop, where I could perhaps stop myself, I choose not to. Whereas I have motivated myself out of a lack, I can now motivate myself out of an abundance. Where I have motivated out of seeking, I can be motivated out of having found. When I have motivated out of desiring something that is beyond my reach, I can now motivate myself by standing on top of, using as a platform, as a foundation, what I have created. And yes, it does take character. It does take principles by which you live, seeking that ideal. And it does take the application of those principles, certainly so. That is what character is all about. But you have that. Again, you might not want to admit it, but if you will stop and let it in, if you will tell yourself the truth about yourself, you do have character. Oh, you want more? Certainly, who does not? But you do have character. And therefore, as you look at your objections, as you look at the reasons that you are reluctant to really let it in, you will see that they can be either let go, or that they've already been done. That in certain ways, by denying the truth, by denying your status, by denying the position that you've earned, by denying the fact that you are a metaphysician, you are even, are you not living in the past? Are you not living in an illusion that is no more? And therefore it is important, and this month is the month to let it in. Thank you.
the brakes, the thing that stops you, is your steadfast adherence and your tenacious desire to dominate.
If I don't understand anything, neither does the robot, because there's nothing in the robot as a locus of understanding except me.
Frank, what the hell are you doing back there?
I'm sick, Tom. I need a cure. Vitamin B cocktail, followed by an app of glucose, and a drop of adrenaline. It's not as good as beer. That's all I got.
Bring out the steps in the program. Well, another reply, which I thought was also revealing, and this gets closer to the nitty-gritty, was, look, it's true. Our existing programs aren't sufficient for understanding. But that's because they don't simulate the right features of understanding. But suppose we had a really complicated program that actually simulated the behavior of a Chinese brain. We had a program that simulated the behavior of the brain. You can imagine doing it down to the last synapse, go to the neuron or synapse level. Synapse level, whatever is your favorite level, you just simulate the behavior of the Chinese brain. Now then, the argument goes, if that program doesn't understand Chinese, then you'd have to say native Chinese speakers don't understand Chinese. Because what we're doing is having a computer program that simulates the behavior of the Chinese brain.
You are. A metaphysician. We keep saying that, yes. And you are the metaphysician. And so to let it in, to help you let it in, to help it become a part of you. The most elegant way is by allowing yourself to accept the gifts, to learn what those gifts are, to work with those gifts, and then to let your higher self bestow them upon you.
That sometimes what the times does can make an enormous difference. At other times, it has no influence whatsoever.
And during this month, that is what we want you to accomplish, week by week, step by step, so that by the time the month has concluded, you are ready to accept the initiation, to accept the mantle.
Your father passed.
They just moved him to the second floor to ICU.
He coded. It shocked him too many times. I'm sorry.
I don't know how he held on as long as he did.
I'm sorry.
You have to keep the body going until the brain and heart recover enough to go on their own.
Forgive me, Rose.
It's not your fault. one asked you to suffer. That was your idea. Would you like to come in?
Yes.
They accept the gifts that are, that belong to, that are the possession of a true metaphysician. Now, with all the connecting cities, this one the same.
I thought it was my ego. Well, it is that also. For who is it that wants to dominate? Who is it that has convinced you that's the only way to exist? Who is it who has attempted to, through fabrication, show you that that's the way to get ahead but the ego? Thirdly, to grow as a consciousness, whether you want to be a spiritual person or not, to grow as a consciousness, to evolve, is also predicated on lifting yourself out of and abandoning the realm of domination, and moving into the realm of dominion. To become one is a phrase, whether you are wanting to be spiritual or not, there are all those who are involved in growing through all ages have spoken of in various vague and explicit terms about becoming one with all that is, one with the oneness. Well, what is that oneness? What is that all that is? We refer to it as a phrase, God, Goddess, all that is, to become one with that. Now, your religious background, regardless of where it comes from, east or west, north or south, has as its base that God is everything. From the tiniest blade of grass to the most magnificent whatever, it is all God. Your metaphysics teach you that you are God, that God is within. Every religion, regardless of how they may differ in the manifestation of that God, all agree that it is within and it is everywhere. To become one with that oneness. How can you do that from a position of domination? When you look at it in the scope of what is God, Goddess, all that is, we would suggest that we'd break it apart. What is God? And we're not about to go into a 6 or 7 year discussion of what God is. But let it suffice us to suggest that an aspect, at least, and a rather good approach to looking at what God is that it is the understanding and the understanding and the meaning of all that is. And the Goddess is the conception and the perception of all that is. And the all that is everything. Therefore, to embrace God, Goddess, all that is, spirituality, or to become one with the oneness, evolution and growth of consciousness, however you want to phrase it, means to come into understanding and to establish a meaning with perception, with conception and perception of everything. To establish understanding and meaning, conception and perception of everything. That is the embracing of God, Goddess, all that is. That is becoming one with all that is, or one with the oneness. And when you stop and look at that and think about it, it does indeed provide a consummate definition to understand, and from that understanding to develop meaning of everything, to understand everything, to have a meaning for everything, to grasp the conception of everything, and to perceive what is there, the meaning, the understanding, the conception of everything. Now, if you could imagine doing that, of sensing some form that understood and could see the meaning, could conceive and perceive everything, then you would have a grasp of God, Goddess, all that is, the oneness. And your function, which is agreed in all religions, is to re-establish that. You had it once, you lost it, to re-establish that. To get yourself in a place where you understand and have meaning, you conceive and perceive everything. How can you do that, though, when you purposely alienate yourself to rule and control, when you elevate yourself to a position of superiority over everything? For that truly is what domination is all about. You can't become one with the oneness when you've placed yourself beyond it. You can't embrace God, Goddess, all that is, when you have separated yourself and moved yourself beyond it. Domination precludes your growth as a consciousness, precludes your spirituality, precludes your ability to love. And finally and fourthly, to break from the collective unconscious, to give the collective unconscious and all that it represents the slip, is impossible to do while holding on to the tenets of domination, and can only be done when you establish dominion. Dominion is complete ownership. Dominion is supreme, not superior, supreme authority. In the last month, as we talked of conceiving, perceiving, we mentioned as part of that the necessity of spiritual beings to give that collective unconscious the slip, even all of its beauty, for with it comes its marred negativity. That in order to fully create your own reality, in order to fully move now, particularly in realms of positiveness, you must step out and beyond that Jungian term, collective unconscious. For even though it holds some very positive things, even though it has within it very clearly some wondrous, marvelous things, it also has some pretty disparaging things. And it's very difficult now and too impossible to separate them. Creatively, you can tap in to the genius of Van Gogh and to his madness. Creatively, you can tap into the brilliance of Einstein and his limitations and his pain and his frustration and loneliness. You'd like to think you can just dip in and take a piece, but the collective unconsciousness is all mishmashed together. It's hard to reach in a bucket of water and not get wet. But to do that, you must have ownership. You must be in a position of supreme authority. You must own the collective unconscious before you can step beyond it. You must be able to identify it and boundary it in order to step beyond it. From a position of dominance, where you are constantly trying to control and rule over and be separate from through alienation, you don't own anything. And you become a prisoner of those you attempt to imprison. Every person who has ever attempted dominance has come to that ultimate conclusion that they become dominated by their subjects. They become imprisoned by those they attempt to imprison. Whether that is on a psychological level, as you attempt to dominate certain of your weaknesses, those weaknesses end up controlling you.
You shouldn't smoke.
It's okay, they're prescription. Works better with a little whiskey.
A woman I had to deal with on the phone a lot.
Behind the desk, there's a wall of pigeonholes, each one bearing a room number, some with keys and occasional pink slip telephone messages. On the counter is the guest register, to which a pen is attached by a small chain. I write down my name, my address, the make and model of my car, and my license plate. There's Muzak playing in the background. I notice a sign that says checkout time is 11.
Claire!
I walk past a small outdoor swimming pool that's fenced up with a gate, and with a sign that says, management is not responsible for injuries or lost items. I pass a Coke, a candy, and an ice machine, and a big laundry cart on wheels. I walk up a stairway with a handrail leading to the second story, where my room is. Immediately upon entering, through the wall, I hear the voice of a young man talking on the telephone. He says, "What are you up to now, David? Having your toes done? Getting a massage? Or have you been sitting on a bench across from a Catholic boys' school with your hands in your pockets, looking at a copy of Playgirl or Mandate? Did you go to the gym today, David? Did you work out? Did you pump any iron? What are you up to? 10 pounds now? You don't want to give yourself a heart attack. If I were you, I'd get some nitroglycerin pills, but I wouldn't drive with them. Well, who did you think you were with? It certainly wasn't me. No. When I dial that 809 area code and you pick up the phone, I feel great, because then I know you're an ocean away. Which brings me to the question, David. Are you getting any sun? You know, it's not good for your skin, David. You probably look like a caiman by now. Not wanting to listen to any more of this conversation, I try to list all of the things I must do when I get home. I have to clean out the storage bin next to the garage.
In the gym, anytime, the power conversion pads.
I have to reschedule my rumble lessons in order to repoint the surface of my company's cloud chamber with Teflon, because it is both ergonomically and tragicomically graded. Although degradation is desirable within certain parameters and up to certain limits, divisible by changing characteristics that describe constants unavailable prior to the cutoff date in the documentation with the literature explaining the manual that I now use. But as I've often argued, the crucial and elementary forward motion of any position pertinent given the range of inquiry we are now indulging in provides an entire school of thought whose authors are often at extreme odds with themselves and have published considerable and lengthy documentation for the kinds of positions that they themselves find specious, creating an infinite number of doppelgangers, which is deconstructive of the very architecture of a given set of values, leaving us with a bifurcated sense of non-polarity, countervailed by the simple grammatical statement, I am, therefore I am. Yet I might not be were it not for the fact that my former state was ridiculous to some, and inexplicably the source of profound sorrow to me.
Learned in the hour when prayer becomes impossible and your heart has turned to stone. That's the place that we really learn something. I know when I've worked with people who come, kind of the years I did as a psychologist and working in therapy with people, at some points we would hit a place of the deepest despair, feeling like they were dying or ashes, the whole world was desolate. And rather than try to get out of that, I would often say, all right, sit and close your eyes and feel how big is the desolation, or how vast is the ashes that the world has been reduced to. Often it would fill the whole sky, the whole earth, the solar system, the whole universe.